Shabbat Shalom. It's good to see everyone this morning. What an honor and a privilege to be in his presence, to come and give him the glory and honor he deserves. Amen. He's so good to us. What an honor to come, to be able to come and sit and learn of his Torah again this morning. Something that we don't even deserve half the time. But yet he gives us this freely. He wants us to learn, to know him more. He wants us to have eyes to see. He wants us to have ears to hear. And he wants us to have a heart to want to know him more. That is his desire for his people, to want to know him more. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity. We'll go ahead and get started. We're in our Torah teachings of understanding Yah's likes and his dislikes. And we're on in Torah portion 15, and it's Bo. I love Bo, because Bo is so easy to say. This is probably my favorite Torah portion out of all 54. It's Bo. I love Bo. And it's Hebrew for command. The command form to come in and go in. And I was thinking about this last night, to come in and go in. Yehovah is telling us to come in. Follow me. Sometimes we get it twisted. We want to tell him to come in. Follow us. How many know us is what got us in trouble? We want him to follow us. But no, we need to follow him. If he's saying come in, he wants us to follow him. Follow what I have for you. Don't follow your ideas. Don't follow man's ideas, man's traditions. Follow mine. Follow what I have laid out for you. Come in. And that's the Torah, Exodus 10, 1 through 13, 16. And the half Torah is Jeremiah 46, 13 through 28. And I'll read the topics one more time because this is real short. It's not long. And the topics for this week is the last three of the 10 plagues are visited on Egypt. A swarm of locusts devours all the crops and greenery. A thick, palpable darkness envelops the land, and all the firstborn of Egypt are killed at the stroke of midnight on the 15th of the month of Nisan. Elohim commands the first mitzvah to be given to the people of Israel, to establish a calendar based on the monthly rebirth of the moon. The Israelites are also instructed to bring a Passover offering to Elohim. A lamb or a kid goat is to be slaughtered, and its blood sprinkled on the doorpost and lintel of every Israelite home, so that Elohim should pass over these homes when he comes to kill the Egyptian firstborn. The roasted meat of the offering is to be eaten that night together with matzah, unleavened bread, and bitter herbs. The death of the firstborn finally breaks Pharaoh's resistance, and he literally drives the children of Israel from his land. Listen, that'll get your attention when your firstborn is killed. But Yehovah gives you warning after warning before it comes to that. He warns you. He don't never just directly jump to this right here. He gave you warning after warning after warning until this finale, to this final death, your firstborn. Listen, let's not wait till we get to that. Let's not get to that spot. Let's heed the first warning. But some people, we hard-headed. We are. We don't take the first warning. We don't take the second warning. We don't take the third warning. It's when tragedy hits. Like, all of a sudden, now we finally understand. Why wait to that? Why wait to tragedy? You know, that text last night, I wonder if he had warning before warning before warning before warning. Before tragedy hits. So hastily do they depart that there is no time for their dough to rise, and the only provisions they take along are unleavened. Before they go, they ask their Egyptian neighbors for gold, silver, and garments. fulfilling the promise made to Abraham that his descendants would leave Egypt with great wealth. The children of Israel commanded to consecrate all firstborn and to observe the anniversary of the Exodus each year by removing all leaven from their possession for 7 days, eating matzah and telling the story of their redemption to their children. They are also commanded to wear tefillin on the arm and head as a reminder of the Exodus and their resultant commitment to God. We stopped on slide 38, but I just want to back up two slides. I want to read this 2 Timothy one more time. 2 Timothy 19 through 21. It says, However, the solid foundation of Elohim stands firm, having this seal, Yehovah knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Messiah turn away from unrighteousness. But in a large house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some unto value and some unto no value. And you know there is value on gold and silver compared to wood and clay. There's a big value. You know, some people, think, I want to be, like Pastor just mentioned last night to us, why I'm not gold? Why I'm not silver? Why I got to be wood? Why I got to be clay? But listen to verse 21, because you need your if-then in your life. No matter if you're wood or clay, be thankful that you wood or clay, that you're not gold or silver, because if-then anyone cleanses himself from these matters, he shall be a vessel unto value. I don't care if you're wood or clay. When you have your if-then moment with Yehovah, you are just as much as gold and silver. Don't matter if I'm wood or clay. I don't matter to me, Yehovah. I'm just thankful that you value me, that you see value in me, because I didn't see value in myself until I got this if-then in my life. Because I had my cup, I was so wondering, not paying attention. I was wondering about who's gold and who's silver and why I'm not that, why I'm just the old clay or the old wood. Wood might have some barnacles on it. Might have some pits in it. It doesn't matter when I get my if-then right, because I'm valued. He valued me. From these matters, he shall be a vessel unto value, having been set apart of good use to the master. Who are you good use to? You're not good use to your neighbor. You're not good use to to your wife, to your husband, to your pastors. No, you're good use unto the master. He set you apart, having been prepared for every good work. We've been prepared for every good work. The gold, the silver, the wood, and the clay. All prepared for every good work, and all value is equal the same, all the same, in Yehovah's eyes. So we got to get that if then. Get your if then. Psalms 95:7-8. For he is our Elohim, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah and as in the day of Massa in the wilderness. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That was Pharaoh's problem. He was hearing the voice because Moshe was speaking on behalf of Yehovah, as if Yehovah was doing the speaking himself. But he was hardening that heart. Don't get to that spot. You say, well, that'll never happen to me. I would be careful. Be careful that you say that. That'll never happen to me. Because that's when it'll happen to you. And it'll happen quick like, before you know it. You're saying things, doing things that you thought you'd never do in your life. Ever. I'm talking about after coming to him too. I'm not talking about before coming to him. I'm talking about after. After you've been plus years in this journey. Second Thessalonians 2:9-12. This is where we left off. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood. If you think that he's coming and he can't make your mind think things that's not even true, then we're fooling ourselves. Because he's coming with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood. And with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth. We have got to fall in love with the Torah, with the truth. You got to fall in love with it. Because if you don't fall in love with it, you will perish. You will be deceived by the lawless one that's coming with all power, signs, and wonders. We got to fall in love with this. In order to be, for them to be saved. And for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood. In order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness. So yes, those who's saying this is all done away with, we don't need this, it's over, we'll be judged. We'll be judged. Believers that's believing that this is done away with, his Torah, his truth, will be judged. We don't have to do the judging for him today. Today we want to do it. We want, you know, we getting it, we got it. So we think we got it. And now we want to judge those that's not in it or not seeing it like we seeing it. We don't need to be judging them. Yehovah said he's going to judge them in that day. It's not our job to judge them. He's the judge. We're not the judge. We need to judge ourselves. That's who needs to, what we need to be judging. According to his truth. According to his word. There comes a time when there is a point of no entry, or you can put no return, so to speak. Some of the Israelites who refused to heed the call to be gathered in Goshen, some of the Israelites, the chosen ones, Jehovah's people, they heeded the call. Why? Because it was lovely in Egypt. And stubbornly held fast to Pharaoh and his regime of enslavement, would also have their hearts hardened just as Pharaoh was by Jehovah. So many people today are sadly refusing to let go of and come out of Mitzrayim, worldly ways and traditions that feed the flesh. How many know that's all that stuff feeds is your flesh? That's all worldly traditions and worldly ways does for you. Because the flesh hungers those things. It desires those things. And or Babylon, religious traditions and systems of man-made worship, be it due to the fear of man or simply by stubbornly believing that the church system that they were born into is not wrong, and as a result will therefore be consistently stubborn and hard-hearted. Been doing this 40, 50 years. My pastor before me was doing this 40, 50 years. His daddy before him was doing it 40, 50 years. It's not wrong. Impossible to be wrong. But they fear man, what people's going to say. How they going to react when you're going totally against the grain? You're not even speaking. You're not even putting together the same message that they're putting together on the massive. All over. Church all over. People don't want to change because of that. Pastors don't want to make the shift because of that. Because of the fear. And as a result, will therefore become consistently stubborn and hard-hearted in not being willing to change. as they hold fast to the traditions of men that cause one to forsake the commands of Elohim. What about what he thinks? What is his ideas on the matter? Does it even matter to us what he thinks? Does it even matter what his command says? Does it even matter what his word says? Or are we going to stick to because of what man is saying? The matter of man weighs more than the matter of Yehovah. Despite the reality of them being born into inherited lives, which having been very clearly presented to them through the mirror of the truth of his word, they still refuse to hear and see as they should. They can see it for themselves, but still refuse to make the change. Plainly see it. You can plainly see it in his word, but still refuse to make the change. Listen, and born into inherited lives, that doesn't mean you can't make the change. It's because you was born into it. You know, you hear adults say, oh, because their parents. It was if a teenager or a young adult is struggling with something or going through something, doing some bad things, might even been put in jail a couple of times, drugs, whatever the case may be. First thing we say, oh, the life. No, it's not the life. We're making excuses for them. We're giving them the crutches to walk on. No, you can be born in that stuff, but you can come out of that stuff. You don't have to stay in that stuff. You don't have to stay in that nonsense. Yehovah gives us the power to, listen, he sent us his son for us to get out of that stuff. We don't have to stay in that, but no, we want to give crutches to everybody. No, we need to take them crutches away and let them stand on the true word of Elohim. Let this be our crutch. If I want a crutch to stand on, I want to stand on this. This is what I want to stand on, his true word. Some will hold fast to the twisted and false beliefs of people that they know well and who also refuse to come out and be set apart. So many will remain loyal to ear-tickling doctrines and the vain traditions of man that have falsely comforted them rather than take the necessary time to earnestly look at the truth of the word of Yehovah. You got to earnestly look at this. It takes time. It takes dedication. And you know, time is something that we don't want really, you know. We just sing that song. They that wait, oh, I will wait on the Lord, I will wait on Yehovah. Do we really mean that? Do we really mean we'll wait for him? Because we want it now. We the want it now group. Society. We don't want to wait for nothing. We get in the line at drive-thru. Popeyes is the worst one. It's the worst one, I'm just being honest. We don't want to wait. If we got to wait 15 minutes, we driving out of that drive-thru. Starving. Hungry. Not to say starving, but hungry. Not starving. We don't know what starving is. Because we got bags of everything in the vehicle that you want. Everybody got a snack bag. Everybody. But we don't want to wait. We want it now. I want my chicken now. Boy, when I get it, don't let it be cold. If I got to wait 20 minutes and it's cold, whoo, some of us will probably throw it back in the window. Boy. We don't want to wait for nothing, but do we really mean that it takes the necessary time to earnestly? Sometimes you got to wait on Yehovah. Because his time is the right time. Without all the added theologies of man, and sadly, this will be the downfall of many who have been handed over to see the delusion of lawlessness due to a lack of the proper love for Elohim. in the day of Jehovah's wrath. Lawlessness is promoted by the deceit of unrighteousness. And what I mean by that is that many are falling prey to the deceit of unrighteousness that promotes that observance of the Torah and commands of Elohim is no longer valid. We know that Scripture clearly defines for us what righteousness is. Deuteronomy 6:25, and it is righteousness for us when we guard to do all this command before Yehovah, before our Elohim, as he has commanded us. So what is righteousness? To do all, to guard, to do all his commands. To sum it up in one word for you, obedience. That's what righteousness is, obedience. Unrighteousness, disobedience. Righteousness for us when we guard to do all this command before Yehovah Elohim, as he has commanded us. With righteousness being clearly defined for us as the guarding of the commands, we are then able to clearly understand that unrighteousness involves defiance toward the guarding of the commands and therefore promotes lawlessness and is sin. Lawlessness and is sin. Being disobedient promotes lawlessness and is also producing sin. Being disobedient. Shaul warns us in his letter to the believers in Thessalonica about the deceit of unrighteousness. As already quoted in 2 Thessalonians 2:10, in this verse, the Greek word that is translated as deceit comes from the root word apathe, Strong's G539, which means deceit, delusion, deception, and is also used in 2 Peter 2:12 through 13. But these, like natural unreasoning beasts, having been born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheme that which they do not know, shall be destroyed in their destruction. Being about to receive the wages of unrighteousness, deeming indulgence in the day of pleasure, spots and blemishes, reveling in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Oh boy. Reveling in their own deceptions while they feast with you. Who's feasting with you? Could he be talking about believers that might be feasting with you? Let's continue. In speaking of the clear faith of the wicked, Kepha highlights how the unrighteous revel in their own deception while they feast with you. This is a sobering thought indeed, as we take note that there are many who are feasting with the righteous, yet they themselves are reveling in deceit. This goes to show how assemblies can be greatly affected by the deceit of many who may be able to put on a religious show. Therefore, before others, yet their deceptive reveling in compromise will not go unrewarded, as they will receive their wages for unrighteousness. Listen, the fruit will tell. No matter what religious show they putting on, fruit will tell. This is a very sober warning that must cause us to make sure that there is no deceit found in us. Make sure there's no deceit found in us. Again, judge yourself. And how you do that? By the love of his word. You have to fall in love with his Torah. Let this be the judge. Nothing else. No other book. Look, this book has got a lot up in this book. A lot. We're going to be preaching this book till he returns and still haven't scratched the surface of the depth and the meaning of what actually this book really means. That's how you make sure you have no deceit in you. Right here, by his Torah, by his guidelines, his laws, his commands, his right rulings. Right rulings. So many are reveling in the deception of lawlessness and have no concept or idea of the severe punishment that is coming upon the unrighteous. Deceit is falsehood disguised as truth and very threatening to those who have no knowledge of Elohim due to their adherence to teachings of lawlessness and what we are to make sure as set apart treasure ones of the Most High is that we put off the false and put on the truth and be dressed in righteousness with the full armor of Elohim, being the only true dress code that guards against deceit. The only true dress code. There's nothing else you can put on. You put on the armor of Elohim and that will guard you against deceit when you put on his armor. Sometimes we want to dress ourselves. We want to put on what we think will work for us instead of what he knows works for us. He's telling you, put this on. I don't want to wear that today. I want to put this on. Well, you go ahead on and put this on that day. And you just, I guarantee you, your very next word you're going to be that's going to come out your mouth throughout the day, this has been the worst day of my life. Because you wanted to put on what you wanted to put on that day. Instead of taking the time to wake up a little earlier and getting that quiet time with him, praying, thanking him, that's how you put on what he wants you to put on. Instead of just getting up and boom, straight out the door. I'm going to put this on. See how far that gets us. Above all, we must make sure that no deceit is found on our lips, as well to make sure that we meditate on the Torah day and night. In order for us to be firmly planted in our rock Messiah, who is the truth. The Greek word that is translated as delusion in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12 comes from the root word plane, Strong's G4106, which means wandering, deception, error, deluding, and deceitful, and is simply understood in the Greek as wandering out of the right way. And I highlighted that because I was brought back to Pastor's take or explanation on how, you know, we're all in the water. And here Yeshua comes along, pretty boat, start picking us up, and us captains, who's been captains for a long time, think, you know, want to tell him, hey, I got it now. Let me drive. Listen, you was in the water because the boat that you was driving, you wandered out of the right way. And now you in the water. That's why you in the water. You got off the course. Thought you knew the way. Better yet, a shortcut. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take this shortcut. How many know that there's no shortcut with Yehovah? You can't take a shortcut and expect to get to him. Listen, you was in the water. He knew you needed a savior. He knew you was drowning. But yet we want to tell Yeshua, get on the side right here. Let me take the wheel. I got it. I've been doing this. I'm a master captain. I got an unlimited license. Your unlimited license is why you and everyone that's around you is in the water, drowning. Your family in the water because of you deviating the course, wandering out of the right way. But yet you want to take his spot. Now you want to be Yeshua. You want to be the captain. Ever seen that movie, Captain Phillips? I'm the captain now. Not me. But that's what got you in the water. And here Yehovah, by his love, his mercy, his grace, his loving commitment, sends the Savior, and we want to be the captain now again after we done been saved, after we done been rescued. No, that's what got us in the situation we're in. Because our winding out the way, our shortcuts. Which is figuratively used to describe being in error. A derivative of this word is planeo, Strong's G4105, which means to cause, to wander, deceive, mislead, misled, led or gone astray, which is translated as led astray in Galatians 6 and 7. Do not be led astray. Elohim is not mocked. Listen, they might think they're winning. They might think they're getting over on him. Let's not be fooled. Somebody need to read Galatians 6, 7 to him that says, do not be led astray, because Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap the flesh. And that's going to be corruption. You better sow to his spirit. Sow to his word. Because that's the only hope we got. He is not mocked. They might think they laughing. They think they pulling one over. But remember, there's going to come a time there's no entry. A point of no entry, a point of no return. We see this word planeo used in the Greek text in the account when answering the Sadducees over their dispute about the resurrection. Yeshua Messiah said to them, Matthew 22:29, and you go astray, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of Elohim. Not knowing the scriptures. And look what comes after when you don't know the scriptures. You don't know the power of Elohim. You think you know the power of Elohim, but you don't have a clue when you're not knowing the scriptures. These words are so true for so many today as they go astray simply because they do not know the scriptures. And if they do not know the scriptures, it is impossible for them to know the power of Elohim. What scripture is he talking about? Can I tell you he's talking about his Torah? Can I tell you something about his Tanakh? The scriptures. We have to know the scriptures. Because of this sad reality of most people who claim to know Elohim, yet do not know the scripture, we see how so many are easily led astray. And that's what it does. When you get away from this and you go to this, because not knowing this, you're led astray. You start making stuff up. Well, this what this means, or this what that means. When you're not knowing this, you don't know the scripture. You start making stuff up. And then you start leading people astray by the thousands. Thousands are being led astray. Every single day, thousands are being led astray. First of all, they think there's many ways to the Father. Many. And let me tell you, thousands bought that hook, line, and sinker. Bought that statement. Because of the one who said it. Just because that one person said it, thousands bought that. When Yeshua himself said that he's the only way, in this part of the Bible too, at that he says that. That part. He says, I am the only way. But yet there's many that's led astray because they don't know the scriptures. Misguided and deceived as they wander aimlessly away from the truth, instead of running in the way of his commands as Dawid declared in Psalms 119:32. I run the way of your commands, for you enlarge my heart. You enlarge my heart. I run. Does that mean he's just lollygagging, taking his time, you know, just strolling along? No, he says, I run to your command. That's important. Help me, Yehovah, to every day run the way of your command. I want to run to your command. Because my life depends upon it. My family's life depends upon it. For you enlarge my heart. You give me a heart to want to know you more. 2 Peter 3:17. You then, beloved ones, listen to this one. You then, beloved ones, being forewarned, watch lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the delusion of the lawless. Beloved ones, he's warning us, be careful. Don't be so quick to say that can't happen to me. Again, it can happen to you. You will be led astray. You could be doing Torah one year, next thing you know, somebody done planted a seed of doubt in your mind. You don't know if the Torah is where you want to be, if what you want to be following anymore. You don't know if it's truth. Peter's warning us, beloved ones, watch lest you fall from your own steadfastness. How do you watch so you don't fall? You run the way of his commands. That's how you make sure you're not led astray. You run to his commands. You fall in love with the truth of Elohim. Many are being led astray because they do not know or properly understand the scripture, and as a result, they are being led astray by crafty doctrines of man that do not follow the clear order, pattern, and witness of the word of Elohim. The Greek word that is translated as lawless here in 2 Peter 3:17 is ethmos, Strong's G113, which means lawless, unprincipled men, and wicked, and is understood as one who breaks through the restraint of law and gratifies his lust, who takes pleasure in his lust, gratifies. This word comes from the two root words. Number one is alpha, Strong's G1, which is the first letter in the Greek alphabet that is used as a negative prefix. And number two is thesmos, which means law, custom, and is a derivative of the root of the word thesame, Strong G5087, which means to lay up, lay aside, appoint, and establish. Therefore, the lawless is being described here as one who is against that which has been established and appointed. Listen, if it's been established and appointed, will it ever change? You can go against it all you want. You're not going to change the truth. You're not going to change Elohim's, Yehovah's word. You can buck it all day long. You ain't never going to win. Ever. You can buck it till you can't buck no more. Till you bust it. You're going to be busted up. I promise you, you keep bucking against this, you will be bust up. You don't win. We got to yield to this. We got to submit to this. Not always want to fight it or go against it. It's been established and appointed. Never going to change. This word, ethmos, Strong's G113, is used twice in Kepha's second letter. In the other verse, we see it being used and is describing the indecent behavior of the lawless that Lot was oppressed by. 2 Peter 2:7. And rescue righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the indecent behavior of the lawless. Indecent behavior of the lawless. The Greek word that is translated as indecent is the word S-L-K-I-A. Okaya. Strong's G766, which means, oh boy, the sensuousness, sensuality. The sensuousness means lacking legal or moral restraint, disregard, sexual restraint, disregard for strict rules of correctness. Strict rules of correctness. I may notice this, you got some strict rules of correctness up in here. And that's what people don't want. They don't want to be corrected. There's no way possible I'm wrong. So then we're telling people that Yehovah's wrong. Sensuality means gratification of the senses or indulgences of the appetite. Devoted to or preoccupied with the senses or appetites, deficient in moral, spiritual, or intellectual interests. Those who are deficient in spiritual or intellectual interests have no regard for the order and instruction of Elohim. And they, therefore, are against the appointed and established order of Elohim and can be easily led astray to doing whatever feels right in their own eyes. Shaul warns us in 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12 of the coming of lawlessness and tells us that those who do not receive a love for the truth will be handed over to the delusion in order for them to believe the lie. When you don't fall in love with the truth, you will be handed over to believe your own ideas, your own thoughts, your own ideologies. He's going to step back. Say, go ahead on. That's what you want to do? That's what you want to believe? If that's the direction you want to go instead of my direction, you're going to wind up in the water. You're going to wind up drowning. But go ahead, I'm going to let you go. Sometimes that's what it takes for us hard-headed people to get it. It takes us to get in that water. It takes us to swallow some of that a couple of times, to taste it before it really sinks in of how bad we really need him. Second Thessalonians 2:9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood, and with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing. Why? Because they did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. You got to receive the love of the truth. You want to be saved, you got to receive the love of the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. The truth hurt. And we don't want that. You know, when somebody tells us the truth or confronts us with the truth, we want to, pride sets in. We want to get the big chested. We want to fight. How dare you tell me what's wrong with me? Or how dare you come show me the truth? Or tell me the truth? We don't want to know. Sometimes we tell people, just tell me the truth. Be honest with me. We don't want that. We really don't want it. We want them to lie to us. We want them to tickle our ears. Because sometimes the truth hurts. And for this reason, Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood, in order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in the unrighteousness. This is a sober warning against not loving the truth, as it is Elohim who will send the working of a delusion to those who will not love his Torah. You don't have to love it. choice is all up to you. You make that decision. But your end result in not loving it is going to be a delusion that you going to wish that you never ever had. A delusion to those who will not love his Torah and love the guarding of his commands. Delusion is a very powerful thing indeed. For the one who is handed over a working of delusion does not know that they are being led astray. How then can we watch and be on guard? It's a good question. Because we don't want to get to that spot. To where he turns us over to our own delusion. So what we have to do, show me in your word what I have to do to make sure I'm on watch and I'm on guard, that I don't get to that point in my life. By loving the truth and guarding the commands of Elohim. Dawid loved the Torah and ran in the way of the commands of Elohim, and so should we as his beloved bride. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love your Torah. It is my study all day long. Oh, how I love your Torah. It is my study all day long. I can't study his word all day long. I got work. I got kids. You know, we got this. We got that. We can make the list this long of the stuff we got to do. But you still can study all day long. Because if you're meditating on it, it's in your mind. You can still be busy as busy can be, and you still can meditate all day long on his Torah. That's not an excuse to say I can't study all day long. You can. You can do it. Because at nighttime, when you're putting it in you at nighttime, when you wake up, guess where is it at? Still right here. You putting it in you, it's still in you all day. Don't never leave you. So yes, you can meditate on it all day. You can study on it all day and all night. But in order to do that, what you have to do? I gotta love it. I gotta love it. Because if I love it, I'm a meditate on it day and night. I'm gonna study it all day long if I love it. If you don't love something, you're not gonna do it. When you love doing something, you do it with everything that is in you. When you love it. But when you don't love it, you have no motive, you have no behind it. You gotta get that behind it. It's like anything you do, you know, you love your job, you do it with a passion if you love it. If you don't love your job, you strolling in at 5 minutes to 6 to catch the boat. You're not in no hurry to get there. You don't love it. They can wait on me. But when you love it, you're there an hour early. 45 minutes, 30 minutes. You're there early. You're on time. When you love it. No different than from his word. When you love it, you're in it. You're passionate about it. You can't get enough of it. I'm steady thinking about it, day and night. It's on your mind. It's on your heart. You can't wait till the sun sets the way you can hurry and get home, eat, and then go dive into this stuff. Or every chance you get, whether it's riding down the road, you're listening to it. Something, some kind of way you're getting it in you when you're passionate about it. I've been passionate about a lot of stuff. A lot. And when you're passionate about it, you're in it. You don't care what people say, how people think, how they look at you. Listen, when I was passionate about drugs, yeah, passionate about it. You could care less what people said or thought about you. But when you get passionate about church or his Torah, all of a sudden you worry about what people think. Or what they're going to say if I'm going to church on Friday night and Saturday morning. When you get passionate about his laws and his commands, you don't care what people say or think. We got to twist it. We got to shift that. The reason for me expanding on the clear and present dangers that many people face regarding the deceit of lawlessness and the threat of being handed over to the delusion is to let the example of the hardening hearts of Pharaoh, his servants, and others, which have included some of the Israelites, be a clear mirror of warning to us against falling into the same trap due to a lack of a true love for Elohim and the call for seeking first of his righteousness. Don't think that as we go through these stories that that's just stories of back then. No, this is well present for us today. Don't get caught up in that. Let this be a mirror of warning to us. Don't get caught up in harden our hearts like Pharaoh did his servants. That was verse 1. We're about to get in Exodus 10:2. And that you relate in the hearing of your son's son, what I have done in Mizraim, and my signs which I have done among them, and you shall know that I am Yehovah. That verse right there alone tells me that this never ends. This is not done away with. He says, relate in the hearing of your son and your son's son. This never ended. It's ongoing. What I have done in Mizraim and my signs which I have done among them, and you shall know that I am Yehovah. Listen, you want to know who Yehovah is? Not only are we supposed to relate this in the hearings of our sons of what he done in Mizraim, but what about our Egypt that he took us out of? Our spiritual Egypt. The delusion we was in. The captivity we was in. Not only that, let's remind our sons and our sons' sons about that also. Verse 2, we are to recount the story of the Exodus and the plagues that Yehovah sent from generation to generation. Did generation end yet? No, generations are still going on to this day. People are still having kids, generation to generation, so that they know who the great I am is. And we are to speak his word to our sons and our sons' sons till it penetrates their hearts to know Yehovah. You keep speaking it to your little ones. You keep speaking it to your children. Listen, when I mean your little ones, they can be 40 years old, sister. They still your little ones. You still speak it. Until what? Until it penetrates their heart. Listen, the word, the truth of Elohim will penetrate the heart. I promise you. Powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That sounds like to me, that penetrates the heart. So they'll know Yehovah. We do well to learn from both those who oppose Yehovah as well as to those who obey him. I want to be on the side that obeys him. I don't want to be on the side that opposes him. I was on that side that opposed him. And it wasn't the winning side. It wasn't a very good side. I lost every battle when I opposed him. I didn't win one. Didn't even come close to winning one. Lost every single battle. But when I started obeying his command, you win every single battle. You win. You don't lose a one. Even when the enemy think that they're about to win. You on the ground for the last count. They're about to count 10. Boom, and you pop up. You don't lose. I promise you don't lose when you're on his side, when you're obeying his command. You win every battle. Every battle. to obey him. May we learn and to find ourselves being obedient. We are to relate and tell of these events in the hearing of our children. The Hebrew word that is translated here as hearing comes from the root word ozen, Strong's H241, which means an ear, hear, attentive, closely, recite, and reveal. And this comes from the primitive root verb azan, Strong's H238, which means to give ear, listen, pay attention, perceive by ear. We get that pay attention. We had that. Pay attention. And while this also carries the meaning to listen and listen attentively, it literally means to cup the ear. In other words, give your complete attention and be obedient to take it all in. Cup the ear. You know, you always, when you're having trouble hearing with somebody, you say, what you said? You know, it's like you add this little thing right here and it muffles the stuff so you can hear it clearly. Cup your ear. When we sit in his Shabbat services, cup that ear. Listen attentively. Turn the noise off. Block out the nonsense. Listen, we can put a show on and we all in it. Wife could be talking. You hear me, honey? Uh-huh. No, you ain't heard nothing she said. I'm going to stay over here. I see Sister Lloyd's looking at Brother Preston kind of hard over there. But it's the truth. We give attentively 100% of our total focus on nonsense. On nonsense. The stuff that doesn't matter. That can't do nothing for us. But when it comes to this right here, we don't want to cup the ear. We don't want to listen attentively. This is not listen attentively. You see this off? You see some sometimes, huh? Oh, this right here. Amen. That's not listen attentively. No, this is listen attentively. Right here. Can't get enough. Give ear, listen, pay attention. Closely, recite, reveal. Proceed in ear. Cup the ear. That's listen attentively. We are to relate these events in the hearing of our children. And we wonder why our society is like the way it is now. If our kids see us doing that, how you think they going to grow up start doing? If they see mom and dad doing that. Or if they see grandpa and grandma can't barely hold their eyes open in an hour, 45, 20-minute message. But we can watch a two-hour series and don't blink an eye. At 12 o'clock at night, after working all day. How does that make sense? But we can sleep all night and come sit in the service and we tired. After sleeping all night and two cup of coffee. Oh, that's attentively. Oh yeah, you listen real well. What do you think our kids going to do? Huh? What are we showing them? We're going to relate these events in the hearing of our children, and this emphasizes how important it is. Why? To train up the children to have ears that hear attentively. How important it is for our kids to have those ears to listen attentively. We got to have it first. The Hebrew word that is translated here as relate is tesaper, which comes the root word safar, Strong's H5608, meaning to score, mark, as a tally, record, inscribe, recount, celebrate, and commune. This root word is also translated as count. In our instruction to count 50 days to Shavuot, the root word safar, Strong's H5608, is used 161 times in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, also being translated into English as tell, toll, number, tell me, declare, and numbering. This word safar, Strong's H5608, is the denominative root verb of the word sefer, Strong's H5612, which means a missive, document, writing, book, scroll, and letters, and is used to describe the book of the Torah. As we consider the clear importance of the commanded counting period to 50, from Matzot to Shavuot, we recognize how this is a great season that teaches us to continually be a counting people who daily count the cost of following our Master and Redeemer, Yeshua, Messiah. Daily count the cost. Let's not forget that it cost him his life for us to have access back to the Father. Every day we need to remember that. Every day we need to count that cost of what it took for me to be able to have that. I don't never want to forget, ever, what he did for me. The spot he took for me at Calvary. Yeah, he took it for me. The spot he took me out of. The miry clay, the quicksand, whatever you want to call it, however you want to label it, the spot you was in, count that cost daily. And don't ever forget it. And you know what? When you stop counting the cost, is when you forget the price that was paid. You think you did something then when you stop counting that cost. Following our Master and Redeemer, Yeshua Messiah. And to be faithful in being a counting people, we need to realize that we cannot do this without the word of Elohim. We need his Torah. We need his word daily. Listen, you miss this one day after doing it day after day after day after day after day, and I promise you, if you in love with it, you're going to feel it. When you miss one day of not opening this, I don't care if you just read a verse. One verse. If you miss one verse after falling in love with this, you feel it. It's like not having your wife or your husband for one day by your side or laying down, going to bed with you. You feel it. There's a lonely spot. There's a lonely spot when you're in love. Same thing with this Torah. When you're in love and you miss it for one day, you feel it. That's a spot that's missing. You feel it. As we are to meditate on his Torah day and night and allow this Sefer, or Book of the Torah, to lead us each and every day, relating it to our children too. Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the Torah depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you guard to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous and act wisely. Listen, and you meditating on this day and night, and you guarding to do according to all that is written, you will not be deceived. The lawless one cannot trick you. Cannot. If you meditating on it day and night, if you loving it, you guarding it, cannot be deceived. He cannot deceive you. If we do not count, we cannot be cleansed. To count means to reflect on where we are and repent of our sin. The Hebrew word sephar, Strong's H5608, spelled from right to left, is with a psalmic, a pay, and a resh. Now, when we see these symbols as written in the ancient pictograph script, we get a wonderful picture of what it means to truly count the cost of being built up in the righteousness, in righteousness. The ancient form of writing, the word count, relate, and tell is sephar. The psalmic. The ancient script has this letter pictured as, which is a thorn and has the meaning of pierce and sharp. It can also carry the meaning of a shield, as thorn bushes were used by shepherds to build a wall to enclose their flock in the night against the attack of predators. Another meaning would be to grab hold of, as a thorn is a seed that clings to hair and clothing. The word of Elohim is sharper than any double-edged sword. And when we find that we do not grab hold, and when we find that we do not grab hold of his word and allow his word to be our shield of faith, we may find ourselves being pierced through with sin and compromise. Our praise we have for our master is that in him we are upheld forever. For he is the shield of our help, as he himself took the crown of thorns upon his head, bearing our sin and shame, that we may be found to be shielded in him. It can also give a meaning of turning, for it is the thorn that turns us away from danger to that which is secure. The pay. This is the letter pay, which is pictured as an open mouth and carries the meaning of speak and blow from the functions of the mouth, and can have the meaning of scattered by blowing. It can also mean sword or beard, as in things with edges, as well as a region in depicting a place with edges or boundaries. It also can represent that which has been spoken forth from the words of one's mouth as being established. The resh, the ancient script has this letter pictured as the head of a man and carries the meaning of top, beginning, first, and chief. And as in being the top of the body, or the head of a tribe, and the one who rules, and also speaks of possessions or inheritance that is decided by the chief, our true life of praise unto Yehovah, our head, begins when we fear him. For he is the beginning of our strength, and true separated praise entails a true fear of the one who is chief over us. When seeing the construct of this word for count in its ancient form, we have a clear picture of how cleansing entails true repentance through being able to correctly count and relate the truth to others. Cleansing entails true repentance. What is true repentance? When you teshuva and you begin doing this, this is true repentance. It's because you cried and snotted at the altar, and when you got up, ain't nothing happened. You walked out the door and you're still doing the same thing that you were doing before you got here. That's not true repentance. True repentance is turning completely away from your ways, that what you were doing things, and turning to his ways and following his commands, his laws, his right rules. That's true repentance. Not crying for an hour at the altar. That's not true repentance. This ancient grouping of letters can carry various meanings for us. And in terms of being a people who count and who relate the truth of the word to our children, we realize that this can only be done when we grab hold of the word of the head. Grab hold of the word of the head. Now, how I can say that about the snot and crying? Because I've been there. I've done that. That's how I can say that. I played that role. I did that fake stuff. There was nothing true about it when I got up from there. It was all a show. You say, well, man, that's harsh, Pastor. Yeah, it was the truth, though. I'm telling me. I've done that. There was nothing true about it when I left from here. But true repentance got you doing this. Got you falling in love with this. Got you doing His ways, following His laws, following His commands, following His right rules. That's true repentance. That's why I can say that. Because I did it. I played it. We got to grab hold of the word of the head. That's what we have to do. Grab hold of it. Listen, and I'm not talking about you going to grab hold of it like this. This is not grabbing hold of it. You ain't got nothing. No grip. You got to grab hold of it with both hands. With everything that is in you, grab hold of this. Some of us might need it like this. Maybe you want to put your foot around it if you're flexible enough. Grab hold of it. This is grabbing hold of it. This is falling in love with it. Not with two fingers, not pinching it. You ain't got nothing right there. You will be deceived. This picture, in terms of counting, teaches us that our shield and refuge is in our head. And Master, who teaches us through His word to number our days, and we recognize the following. When we bring our sins, pictured by the thorn, and confess them, our open mouth, to Yeshua our Messiah, head of a man, then He is the one who cleanses us. Hallelujah. He is the one that cleanses us. We don't cleanse ourselves. Open our mouth in the head of a man, confessing to Yeshua Messiah, and let Him do the cleansing. In our proper telling of the word to our children and others, we shall enable them to be caused to know that Yehovah is Elohim and Savior. Proper telling them to our children. This eighth plague saw Yehovah sending locusts, which is a clean insect, representing how Yehovah will cleanse the land from all wickedness. The locust represents, in one sense, the army of Yehovah bringing judgment upon this wicked and adulterous land. Exodus 10:3. And Moshe and Aharon came into Pharaoh and said to them, thus said Yehovah Elohim of the Hebrews, till when shall you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go so that they serve me. Till when you refuse to humble yourself before me? In verse 3, Yehovah is presented once again as the Elohim of the Hebrews. He is the Elohim of those who cross over. To have Yehovah as your Elohim, you must be a crossover, so to speak. One who has crossed over from darkness, ignorance, to light, knowledge of the truth. You have to cross over. If you want Him to be your Elohim, you cannot stay in darkness. He's not there. He's not in darkness. Will he ever be in darkness. So in order for Him to be your Elohim, you got to come into the light. And the light is what? The knowledge of the truth. Not the knowledge of what you think it is. It's His knowledge. His truth. We got to come to grab that. We got to come to the grips of that. Of that knowledge is His truth. Not John Brown's book. Not someone else's thoughts and ideas of what truth is. The knowledge of Him, His truth, His knowledge. The Hebrew word that is translated as the Hebrews is the word Hebraim, which is the plural of the root word Ibri. Strong's 85680, which in English is Hebrew, and means the one from beyond. the one who crossed over, and comes from the root verb of avar, Strong's 856-74, which means to pass over, pass through, or cross over. So if you crossed over, you are a Hebrew. She just gave me 5 minutes. I'm going to use it too. Abraham was the first person to be called a Hebrew in Genesis 14:13, and we recognize this by his crossing over of the Euphrates River when leaving his father's house and going to the promised land at the call and instruction of Elohim. Genesis 14:13, and one who had escaped came and informed Abraham the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and they had a covenant with Abraham. So what we declare to the world through our walking in the righteousness of Messiah, by walking according to his Torah, is that we are Hebrews. And that is, we are ones who have crossed over, so to speak, as Yehovah, the Elohim of the Hebrews, has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what we proclaim into the world. Yes, we have crossed over out of darkness into his marvelous light, into the knowledge of the truth. 1 Peter 2:9. I'll end right here. This is a good spot. It's a highlighted spot. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Listen, that's a good bloodline to be in. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a set apart nation, a people for a possession, that you should proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, what we should be doing? Proclaiming the praise of him who called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our passing over, becoming a Hebrew, entails our ability to clearly listen to the commands of Elohim and guard to do them. Simple. Plain. Easy. Clearly listen to his commands of Elohim and to guard them and do them. We have to do both. You have to guard and do them. Why? Because he says you got to proclaim that to the nation. Proclaim what he's done for you. Why? Because he says, I'm a chosen race. I'm a royal priest. I'm royalty. We royalty. You royalty. No matter if you're clay or wood, remember you're royalty. If then. Get your if then right. Because then you value. No matter what you look like, you value. Amen? He's so good to us. Man, I tell you, what an honor. What a privilege. Thank him. Today, listen, all throughout the day, just thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his opportunity that he has given us to come and sit again in his presence and to learn of his Torah, to open up our eyes, to open up our ears, and to give us that heart to want to know him more. Amen. What an honor. Let's stand. Ooh, I love it. I love this stuff. Any prayer requests?